When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Wild night in the NBA last night. A reminder, Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle. We'll be broadcasting live Thursday from Detroit's new home for sports, ESPN Bet at Hollywood Casino, Greektown. Very much looking forward to being there this week, Thursday and Friday. We will be there. So
that was a great pass by OG Anunoby, by the way. When Hartenstein gets the rebound, tips it to OG. Like, that was a great pass by OG, putting it right there in the pocket for DiVincenzo to line it up. That was a great pass. Like, it's the little things, man, that make a difference this time of year. And the Knicks did all of the little things better than the Philadelphia 76ers did. And that's why they were able to win when Jalen Brunson had another off-shooting night.
So, we have three games last night. Apologies to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Not being talked about as much is a compliment. You're beating the Orlando Magic, 96-86. You're up two games to none, and everyone thinks you're going to advance to the second round, and Donovan Mitchell's been great. That's a compliment.
Jared Allen was awesome, too.
20 rebounds last night?
Yeah, 16 points, 20 boards. He was awesome. Mm-hmm.
So the two games that everyone's discussing today, including us, of course, the Knicks and the Lakers last night. The Knicks go up 2-0 with a 104-101 win over Philly, and Philly's final minute of this game was a complete nightmare for them. They're up 5 points after Kyle Lowry hits one of two free throws. The Knicks then score 8 points over the next 27 seconds, including a Jalen Brunson three, which went off the rim. And the ball was basically saying, I don't really want to go in. All right, fine, I'll go in. It's basically what happened. Then Tyrese Maxey on an inbound turns the ball over. No timeout called, neither by Kyle Lowry, or who's inbounding it, or head coach Nick Nurse. Mm-hmm. Nurse and Embiid claim they tried to call a timeout. They turn the ball over. Dante DiVincenzo shoots a three, misses it. Isaiah Hartenstein gets the rebound. OG with that pass that CeCe just discussed, back to DiVincenzo, hits that three. And then Maxey gets the ball going down the other end, and Hartenstein again with a block from behind on a little bit of a chase down, or trailing him on there, and then the Knicks get the ball back. OG Anunoby hits two free throws, and they end up winning this game. Just a remarkable performance to win 104-101. And oh, by the way, in the second game last night that you heard on ESPN Radio, Denver coming back from 20 points down, 101-99, they beat the Lakers. Jamal Murray, game-winning shot, and Jokic had 27, 20 boards, 10 assists. Both the Lakers and the Sixers are complaining about the referees. The easiest thing to do when you lose is blame someone else and blame the referees. And it's typical Daryl Morey with the Philadelphia 76ers. He did it with the Rockets. He's doing it now with the Sixers. He's got more grievances and complaints filed with the league than he does finals appearances. By a lot. By a lot. He's got more audits with the league than he has finals appearances. For the guy that everyone wants to crown as the greatest GM of all time, it's so typical that after they lose that game, when they totally blew it late, that of course, what are they going to do? They're going to file a grievance about the last two games as if somehow it's the referee's fault and not the unfortunate and basketball tragedy that is Joel Embiid breaking down because of injury at this time of year.
Yeah, he's clearly compromised, guys, and I don't know. Despite his confidence in his team to come back, because that's what he said after the game, we're going to come back and we're going to win this, we're the better team. I don't know how he can say that with a straight face, knowing that he is not at 100%, that he's not available for his team in the way that he needs to be. I appreciate the confidence, because if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will, and he's trying to inspire his team. But I don't know, even emotionally, after that sequence from the Knicks, it inspired a Mike Breen double bang. You lose that game last night, that's tough to turn the page.
Yeah, I get that he's compromised, but Embiid played better than Jalen Brunson last night, except for that shot that Brunson made at the end. I mean, Embiid outplayed Jalen Brunson. And even if he's compromised on one leg, I mean, the fact that you have your star being better than the other team's star, that's saying something. I mean, Embiid and Maxey combined for 69 points last night. Like that, they played well enough to win, but again, it was the execution down the stretch, and it's the little things. It's like boxing out. It's making your free throws. It's inbounding the ball to the right places on the court. It's calling timeout to make sure that your team is set and everybody is on the same page. That last sequence of plays is absolutely inexcusable, and so I hang a lot of that on the head coach, Nick Nurse. But some of the players, especially key leadership guys, have to be held accountable. And they gave a game away yesterday. I was joking with Hembo, who's a Sixers fan, before we came on the air. I said, yeah, Philadelphia snatched defeat from the jaws of victory last night. There's no other way to describe what happened in the Garden. That was a game that the Sixers should have won, but it ends up being a dub for the Knicks.
Well, Joel Embiid doesn't think it's over. Post-game, guaranteed victory in this series.
We're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
Listen, it's not impossible that they come back.
Hold on. Can I say this real quick?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you make your point. We got to stop this. I get tired of people saying, because you have more talented players, that does not make you the better team. It just doesn't. Bill Parcells said this all the time. The best players don't make the best teams, but the best teams always win.
Yeah,
Philadelphia has a better collection of talent. They are not a better team than the Knicks.
It's personal for you, and I mean that in a good way. I'm pointing to the all-in for those who are watching on ESPN2. Your Giants team that won a Super Bowl over the Patriots.
over who?
What? I didn't hear you.
Exactly.
Over who?
Over the team that they played in the Super Bowl, the Patriots. Not the more talented team.
No.
Not even the better team for the entirety of the season.
No.
But
we were the only team that didn't win double-digit games to win a Super Bowl. The 2011 Giants.
So that kind of comment is very personal for you. And rightfully so. I think we have to acknowledge that. Like, when you hear that, it probably, in your head, if I'm going to psychoanalyze, craps on your Super Bowl a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's like, wait, no, like, we need to be valued for coming together as a team, even if we don't have more talent than you. And actually, we should be more valued for that because we beat you and you're more talented. The thing that I get out of this whole thing is maybe Embiid's right. Maybe they do come back from 0-2 down. How do you watch Joel Embiid and think he can make it through four series?
I'm worried about him.
Four. Because he has to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at some point, that has to be on the resume. And so maybe he's right. Like, if I ask you the most logical comeback here of the three 0-2s that we have, Lakers, Philly, or Orlando, where are you going to go? Because even if you say Philly, are you then going to say they're going to win again and again and again with the way he looks?
I almost think I would go with the Lakers, although I don't feel that confident in it. But they have been in these games. These first two games, the Lakers have been right there. So maybe they could find a way to break through, although I don't like this pick because picking against the Denver Nuggets that many times in a row doesn't seem like a smart decision.
No. I mean, both of these teams are cooked. Both of them are cooked. I mean, if you're going to say one has a better chance over the other, I would say the Lakers, but that ain't a very good chance. Like, I mean, you're talking about Hail Mary. You know, you're talking about, you know, one of those far-fetched scenarios, something happens that's improbable, unlikely injury that allows them to get back in the shit. Barring any of those things that are unforeseen, neither one of these teams are coming back from 0-2. Neither one of them. And the excuse-making is probably where it starts for me, Ev. Like, if you can't show any level of accountability for not being able to close out a game when you're up 20 points, if you can't show a level of accountability for having a five-point lead with less than a minute to go and blowing it, I can't take you seriously. Embiid is sitting there talking about we're the best team, we're going to win this series. He's got his head in his hands. You can't even look at the media when you're doing your post-game press conference. I can't take you seriously because your body language does not invoke confidence. And if I don't see you as a confident person, a confident leader, a confident player, how are the other guys in that Sixers locker room going to do that either? Like, neither one of these teams have a chance. And I go back to this, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, but do you remember 3 years ago when we actually thought it was a debate on who the best big man in the league was, whether it was Embiid or Jokic?
Mm-hmm.
And just think about where we're at now and how laughable that is. Because Nikola Jokic is always there. He's always available. I mean, he led the NBA in touches this year, Nikola Jokic. Think about that. Another big man, you know, he does his job. He doesn't have the splash plays that Joel Embiid is capable of making. Jokic ain't going to throw it off the backboard to himself and try to dunk it. But you know what Jokic is going to do? He's going to give you 27, 20, and 10.
He's going to be there.
He's going to be there. And he's going to be the best playmaker on the court at all times. And that's what we thought Embiid had a chance to elevate to graduate to, and it just hasn't happened. So when we start talking about Embiid and being worried about him, I'm not worried about him anymore, Ev. I'm really not. Injuries be damned. I'm not concerned about Embiid because at some point I got to stop giving you the benefit of the doubt and saying how unfortunate all of the injuries are. You're a professional athlete. Your body is your business. Damn it, be available when the playoffs come around. And if you're not available, then that's on you, bro. Nobody else.
He played 39 minutes last night at 34 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists. Numerically, he was through the roof. But you could, if you just watch the game, you know it's not the same guy.
Totally.
And he cannot physically move the way in which he did in the past. He looks like he's in such pain. I wonder one thing, though. CeCe, you said that one of the problems...
Here's the thing, Ev.
I'm sorry, go.
The injury had nothing to do with why they lost last night.
I understand.
It had nothing to do with it. Like, we can't use the injury as an excuse for why they lost game two. Maybe game one, they might have been shook a little bit after what happened to them in the first half. I get that part.
Sure.
You shouldn't have lost last night. That was not it.
That was a meltdown.
Not boxing out Hartenstein, that's controllable. Kyle Lowry not making that second free throw, that's controllable. Inbounding the ball to the corner, that's controllable. Not calling timeout before you inbound it or after you inbound it, controllable. There are five plays that I'm pointing out within the last 2 minutes that are fully within your control. And if you make any one of them, you get out of there with a win and you steal home court. And you didn't do it. That's why I get furious when Joel Embiid says, we're the better team, we're the best team. No, you're not. Because you don't show the discipline, the situational awareness that it takes in order to win these games on a consistent basis.
And we talked a lot about Nick Nurse being a huge positive X factor for them heading into this series. And so after last night, I'm sure we're not thinking the same thing. I mean, overall in totality, probably, but you didn't really expect that from him last night.
Yeah, not if they get swept. It's not that much of an X factor.
No, but I mean, Jalen Brunson being 8 of 29 last night, like that is all Nick Nurse.
I actually think that hurt the Sixers. I think one of the things you're seeing right now, you talked about the idea of the Lakers making a mistake double-teaming Jokic because he's such a good passer. I actually think the Sixers have been hurt by the lack of success for Jalen Brunson because what that does is it raises everyone else's game. Everyone else thinks they got to do more, score more, and they have accomplished that. That if Jalen Brunson is one man...
They've accomplished that at home. Let's see those role players play well once they go on the road in Philadelphia.
In general, I think the idea of Jalen Brunson going 8 of 29, you would think would hurt the Knicks. I actually think it kind of helped the Knicks, as odd as that sounds, because of the fact that Hart realizes he's got to score more. DiVincenzo realizes he's got to score more. If they're standing around and watching Brunson, the other guys are not as involved, which means their defense is not as good. As odd as that sounds, it's the same thing with Jokic. When you double Jokic... You're voluntarily losing. You need to say to Jokic, score 60.
I make Jokic score 60 every time.
60? Mm-hmm. Like, go ahead.
He can score 60.
I know he can.
He's the best shooting big man in the history of basketball. If you're not touching the ball on offense,
it is human nature to not be as good on defense.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's just the nature of the beast. All right, tons of NFL draft conversation still to be had. We're going to be there on Thursday and Friday in Detroit, brought to you by True Green. And I love a beautiful lawn. Hate doing lawn care. That's why I use True Green. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. We all know those are some nice greens. So just imagine what they could do to your lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and True Green is going to take care of the rest. Think about sitting outside, beautiful weather, and your lawn looks healthy and green and clean. And you're like, you know what? Let's invite people over. We have the best lawn around. Everybody's going to be amazed at how our house looks and everything around it. And to top it off, when you sign up for an annual plan by April 30th, you get one application free. Visit TrueGreen.com. That's TrueGreen.com for the best lawn at the best price guaranteed. Restrictions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from the Seaport. Brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. Yeah, we have a situation developing here. Unnamed. Not going to say who. Not this person's fault. I guess there was some sort of confusion about guest booking today. Nuno just woke somebody up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:15 in the morning in L.A. Somehow, Nuno did not get a message. I'm not blaming Nuno at all. I'm not blaming anyone, actually. But I am factually stating that Nuno just made a phone call and said, hey, you ready to go? And the person obviously was not because they were fast asleep. Did you just wake somebody up at 4:15 in the morning in Los Angeles, California, Nuno?
I might have, yes. our guest was supposed to... was on the schedule, and apparently we didn't get the message that he was off the schedule, and I might have woke him up.
Guilt? Do you feel any guilt right now?
Nah. No. I'm like Joel Embiid, taking no responsibility for my actions.
Boy, Nuno is from the Daryl Morey school of blaming others, and you're going to audit this. He's going to have a grievance filed with ESPN booking and PR. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to feel a little bit guilty, no?
I didn't. Yes, but you know what kind of threw me off? Because I text our guest about 20 minutes ago, like, hey, are you good? And normally people will have, like, if it's too early, they'll have their do not disturb, whatever, they're set up. And he didn't have it, like, he didn't have it set up. So I figured, oh, then he still must be good. He must be awake.
Yeah, well, not the case. No. Not the case.
Could have been for an interesting interview, though.
Yes, half awake in LA.
Yeah.
Or
maybe he was wide awake. It is LA.
That's true.
It is LA.
Okay, anyway.
It would have been great.
Can I say something that I feel like I have to duck afterwards?
What's up?
Oh, boy.
I kind of like what the Broncos did yesterday.
With Zach Wilson?
Oh, here we go.
I don't know.
Why?
Why not, I guess, is my answer. Like, why not take a flyer on him?
I know why you like it. I know why you like it.
Okay.
Because it's walking you down the road of them not taking a quarterback early, and if they're not going to take a quarterback at 12, then they might as well trade out of the first round.
That's not why. That's why you like it. Because you
are. That is why I like it.
You just gave your reason for liking it assigned to me.
I wanted to see if we were on the same
no,
page.
No, we're
Let
not.
Me, we have been sharing a brain when it comes to this NBA playoff stuff. But not this one.
No.
Yeah.
If you stink, which they do, they stink, you got to roll the dice on a couple of things. Why not roll the dice on Zach Wilson? And maybe part of me is wondering, is this actually, maybe this is the sick part of it. Is this yet another knock on the Jets? Like, imagine if he's good. He being Zach Wilson. I should have said that. They traded for Zach Wilson yesterday. Imagine if he's good. Imagine if he's Baker Mayfield.
That's another knock on Nathaniel Hackett. Sean Payton has proven right in his assessment of Nathaniel Hackett.
That
guess, right?
kind of excites me.
Yeah, but I've never heard of a player that said he didn't want to go out there for a team that he was drawing a play check for. Like, remember, Zach Wilson at the end of the regular season last year, after the failed Trevor Siemian, Tim Boyle experiment, the Jets wanted to turn it back over to Zach, and he was reluctant to go back into the starting lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no evidence that I'm going to be right about this. I agree with you on that.
That's an indictment on his sports character. So I get what you're saying. Change the scenery might be great for him. He could have that Baker Mayfield-like resurgence with his career. I would just say doubtful because I don't see that natural competitor, that doggedness in Zach Wilson like you got from Baker. Like, at least you saw signs of it with Bake in Cleveland. I've never seen signs of that with Zach Wilson. It's always been YOLO ball. I'm just going to keep throwing it, and I don't care if I'm throwing three or four interceptions, accounting for four or five turnovers. It doesn't matter. Like, there has never been the accountability on Zach Wilson's part for why things went left with the Jets, and that's why I'm skeptical about this actually working out. But what I do like it is because it is a low-risk flyer, right? You're trading Zach Wilson in a seventh-round pick to the Denver Broncos for a sixth-round pick. So you're picking up better, more draft capital.
Half the salary you're paying.
And you're getting rid of a headache. Because let's also think about this. You got a quarterback coming off of an Achilles in his age 40 season. And you got Tyrod Taylor as the backup who's often injured, who missed, a month of the season last year with the New York Giants when he was thrust into duty. Like, we ain't that far removed from Zach Wilson having to go back out on the field in a Jets uniform in 2024. So if nothing else, the Jets got rid of a headache. Mm-hmm. We don't have to explain this anymore to our fan base why Zach Wilson's got to be out there. He's not on the team, so it's guaranteed that he is not going to be out there on the field for the New York Jets this upcoming season. So I thought that in and of itself was the win. But it's clear and obvious to me now that the Jets have burned the boats, and it's all about the 2024 season. It is Super Bowl or bust. They are quite literally the biggest Super Bowl or bust team that we have in the NFL right now.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I can think of any other team.
Bills.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, no.
But if
go ahead. Sorry, Schmoes.
It feels like the Jets, though, are more in that category because the Bills at least have more runway with Josh Allen as the quarterback. Exactly. If it doesn't happen for the Jets this season, do we really think they're going to be in a better position next year?
No.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm with you, CeCe. I thought that it was time for both parties to part ways. Zach Wilson could not go back out on the field in any capacity as the quarterback of the New York Jets. And they needed a situation where they moved on from him as well. And while there were some moments when he was playing last year that you saw glimpses of that potential, the overall body of work just wasn't there. Now, I do like this for Denver in a way because, as you said, it's a very low risk. If Sean Payton is somehow able to get more out of Zach Wilson, that's something you put on the resume for Sean Payton.
That's the point right there. If I'm paying you $17, $18 million a year to run my team and to coach my team, and you're supposed to be the quarterback whisperer, and I give you a failed number two overall pick that at some point people thought had talent and ability, you should be able to make more of that than the Jets did. That's for sure. That doesn't mean you're going to make him into a Hall of Famer or even Tampa version of Baker Mayfield. I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting that it's worth the risk because of how much you're paying the head coach. Yes, Nuno, go ahead.
All right, so that 2021 draft class had five guys go in the top 15, five QBs. Mm-hmm. Four of them have been traded. So ESPN Bet has the, you know, how many QBs will be drafted in the first round. The over-under is 4.5. Now, what happened with 21, would that give you any pause, especially when you get into those mid-picks, you know, when you're looking at the Penixes, the Bo Nixes? Like, would any of that play into part of your decision this year?
I waffle on this like a La Quinta breakfast. I really do. Because here's why. You're 1,000% right. We put up the Shefty tweet here on ESPN2. And Smalls has been saying this since the first moment we talked about the 2024 draft, that some of these guys are going to be terrible. And some of these guys are going to be on multiple teams. And so I get the thought process of waiting and passing on guys. But tell me how you find a quarterback if you don't draft one in modern day NFL. The Kirk Cousins to Atlanta, a rarity. We may see it again with Dak next year going somewhere else. What am I supposed to do? If I'm Minnesota at 11-23, if I don't get a guy now, what am I supposed to do? If I am New England, what am I supposed to do here? How am I supposed to find a guy? At the time that this happened, the Jaguars are obvious. The Jets didn't have a quarterback. The Niners traded up because they had a banged up Jimmy G. The Bears, I'll use the CC line, hadn't had a quarterback since Sid Luckman when they got Justin Fields. And the Patriots lost Tom Brady, had Cam Newton, and we're sitting there at 15 and had a quarterback that Nick Saban coached to a national championship. You don't think Belichick was tempted by that? So what are you supposed to do? If Michael Penix slips to you and you're a quarterback needy or wanting team, you're supposed to say no?
Well, for some of these guys, is it really that they couldn't have succeeded in the NFL, or did the circumstances that they got drafted into play a role in their demise? I think a lot of times with these quarterbacks, it's the environment around them that causes them to not succeed. I hear the lamination.
I got the lamination
jingling in the background.
The QB rules.
But for some of these teams, if you think that, first of all, if you need a quarterback and there's a guy there that you think could be the guy, you have to take him. You have to take him. But some of these teams, namely the Chicago Bears, are putting pieces in place to help their quarterback when they draft them and try to make sure that history does not repeat itself.
Chicago Bears were in a position to take a quarterback when they didn't win last year. They didn't. They passed on it, and they passed on C.J. Stroud. Now they're fortunate they're going to take a quarterback this year in Caleb Williams. Let's hope that Caleb Williams is right there in terms of being able to help the Bears turn their organization around like C.J. Stroud did for the Houston Texans.
See, the easy thing is saying that those teams shouldn't have drafted a quarterback now, right? We would have to go back in time and suggest, okay, in the moment, who should they have drafted? I'm sure we could find guys that are way better.
No, in the moment, I'm sitting there going back to the 2020 season, and I'm saying Greg Williams had it right when he blew the game against the Las Vegas Raiders and called a zero blitz, and the Raiders hit him for a big touchdown. He was the hero. They fired him for it. Then 2 weeks later, they won on the road against the Los Angeles Rams and ruined their chances of getting the first overall pick. Because guess what? In that 2021 draft class, you know the one guy that didn't get traded? Trevor Lawrence, the first overall pick.
Every Jets fan I know.
Greg Williams, he should have been.
Is mad about that?
Absolutely.
But
Greg Williams did the right. He did right by the Jets.
Every Jets fan I know also thinks they would have ruined Trevor Lawrence because they're the Jets.
Listen, if the Jags didn't ruin Trevor Lawrence, Trevor Lawrence wasn't going to be ruined.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. For motorcycles, boats, and RVs, for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you could save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or progressive.com. I like having fun with Nuno. Nuno provides so much interesting, weird, quirky stuff. He's so good at what he does. But there are some times where he's like, gives us stuff, right?
Yeah.
On our rundown right now, it says, back to the Lakers, question mark. I don't know. Should we go back to Lakers?
I don't know. Canty, how's your blood pressure?
I don't know, man. It's getting kind of elevated because Pat Costello's people, his fellow Sixers fans, are coming at me on social media, and I'm just not sure how to react.
What are they coming at you for?
Well, that's because you're such a Knicks homer, but also such an Embiid hater. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's
Canty.
The thing. They're saying I'm an Embiid hater, and I'm just saying,
you are.
What have I said that's factually inaccurate? The dude is never healthy in the postseason.
That doesn't mean you're not a hater in fans' eyes.
Spewing
facts that go against wishes of fans make someone a hater.
But I guess my whole point is they've been trusting the process for how many years, and how's that worked out for them? At some point, we have to put it on the player, right? Like, it's up to Embiid to be healthy. It's up for his team to make smart plays in critical moments in basketball games. And neither one of them happens to be true every time this time of year rolls around on the calendar.
I'm surprised that those fans aren't backing you up, because shouldn't the fans be more frustrated than anybody that their star player is seemingly always compromised or he's always dealing with an injury this time of the year? If I was a Sixers fan, as much as I love Joel Embiid and everything that he's given to this organization, it would drive me nuts that we don't see him at full capacity in the playoffs.
But here's the other part to this, Smalls, though. Like who else is left to lay the blame at, right? Like, think about it. Like, since the process started out, think about all of the different characters that are going, Sam Hinkie and Brian Colangelo and all of these different figures that have been a part of the Sixers. Even think about the head coach, Doc Rivers, gone. Ben Simmons, gone. Jimmy Butler, gone.
Markelle Fultz.
Gone. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Brett Brown, before that.
Brett Brown, gone. Like, all of these dudes are gone. Who's the last person remaining that was a part of this deal? It's Joel Embiid. And I'm not saying that Joel Embiid wasn't good, especially considering the context he was playing on one leg, but it's not good enough.
So here's the question I have for you guys. We saw two massive meltdowns last night. Would you rather blow a 20-point lead or blow a 5-point lead in the final 27 seconds?
Oh, the way the Sixers lost was way worse.
Brutal.
At least with the Lakers, you kind of got the sense that this was going to be the long goodbye. Like, you knew it was going to happen because the Denver Nuggets were walking them down. And here's the other thing. The Denver Nuggets have the best player in the world, Nikola Jokic. Mm-hmm. That's not even up for debate. So if you lose to the best player in the world...
But you're up 20. And you have LeBron.
Yeah, you're up 20 and you lost to the best player in the world on his home court. I can understand that. You lost to a team whose best player shot 8 of 29 from the field.
The Sixers' loss was awful last night. Complete and utter meltdown. And in typical Daryl Morey, who runs the team fashion, he's going to complain to the league because that's what he does. He did it with the Rockets and he did it with the Sixers now, and that's what happens all the time. They don't win games. They just complain constantly. The Lakers did blow a 20-point lead where they had a tie game and LeBron had a chance to win it on a game-winning shot after he pushed off Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, his former teammate that he won a championship.
They didn't call a foul. Remember, it's prison ball rules. No blood, no foul.
I understand, but then he's complaining afterwards. That's the problem with all of this. There's just so much complaining. Yeah, because if you want to, I'm not even saying that a bad thing about LeBron in that spot. I'm just saying you can't then be the one that complains and then be the push-off guy. Because I didn't, admittedly, I did not watch this live last night. It was past my bedtime. So I'm I'm watching it this morning before we come on. And I'm like, wait a minute, because I heard LeBron complaining before I saw the push-off. Mm-hmm. On the final play, we're showing it on ESPN2, or second to last play. Hi, Jay Will. The second-to-last play, he's pushing off, too. So, I mean, what are you complaining about?
Also, you gave up a 20-point lead. You gave up a 20-point lead.
Yes, so that's what I'm saying. Which loss is worse, the Lakers' loss, or the Sixers' loss?
It's the 76ers' loss, because the 20-point leads in the NBA, unless you're the Magic who can hit the side of the barn, as they say, like... English is not my first language. Thank you, Ganty. You picked up on it. No, but like teams make runs all the time in the NBA, especially that good, the really good teams. Losing that game because you guys got soft and you couldn't handle the pressure, like that. Sorry, Pat. But that is a bad loss. So Embiid, put your head down, soak, cry to the officials. And guess what's going to happen on Thursday? Because this is going to happen, those games. I know, Evan, we talked about this before the show, is watch the way that those games are officiated Thursday night, Knicks 76ers, and then Lakers and Nuggets.
And that's why they do it, Nuno. That's why LeBron complains last night. That's why Embiid complains last night. That's why Morey is filing this ridiculous complaint. Because they realize, uh-oh, we're screwed. We need extra help. Where do we get the extra help here? The only way they can get the extra help is to put things in the referees' minds, which hopefully will not influence the referee in any way, shape, or form. And I'm not saying it's going to. I'm saying, but that's the goal of that.
But that's a loser's mentality. If you don't think that you have enough to defeat your opponent within your own locker room, I know that having the officials be aware of things and maybe give you a little bit of leeway is certainly beneficial, but you need to have more conviction in yourself and your abilities to overcome your opponent. And when you come out last night, both of these teams complaining about the officiating after you had your team in a position to win and you could not execute down the stretch and get it done, that tells me a lot about you guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I'm sitting here thinking about it. The Sixers loss is by far the worst of the two losses.
It's awful.
It's by far the worst of the two losses. Like, coming into this series, there was no doubt in my mind that the Nuggets were going to advance to the second round. Like, there was no doubt. Like, I saw all I needed to see last year in the Western Conference Finals. Not much has materially changed from these two teams. I mean, yeah, Bruce Brown ain't there no more. Okay. Jeff Green ain't there. Okay, all right, whatever. That's fine. I mean, the Denver Nuggets are still the Denver Nuggets. Nikola Jokic is still the best player in the world. He's going to win his third MVP in four seasons. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew what this was going to be. Like, even with the Lakers being up in game one in the first half, double digits, being up in double digits 20 in the third quarter yesterday's game, I knew what was going to happen. I knew it. I mean, the only drama or theater that's involved is seeing how it's going to come to fruition. And Jamal Murray hitting that step back shot over Anthony Davis was awesome. I mean, but with the Sixers, we all projected that this would be a team that was going to get past whoever they would play in the first round as long as it wasn't Boston.
Yep.
That's what we said.
Oh, even if it was. I even said it if they were healthy, it could have been Boston, too, that they could have beaten
We've said that for weeks. Yeah. So when Embiid came back in the regular season, he was awesome.
Like, I had takes ready to go off of a win last night. I had so many takes ready to go.
Give us one.
Well, I'm just saying, the Knicks fans were making such a big deal about winning game one as if they're going to have a damn parade for winning game one. And
they did have a parade.
They had a parade last night. If you ask a Knicks fan, you won a championship last night. You're up 2-0 in the first round.
I think it's ridiculous. Mark Morales is in the New York City. He's playing in the parade route right now.
That's why he's not here today.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like the reality is the Sixers were inches away from splitting at the 2 seed.
They should have won the game.
And they would have been fine. See, this is why I actually think, as crazy as it sounds, the Lakers' loss is worse. I'll tell you why. I could theoretically see this Knicks team, as hard as they play, as together as they play, they're so likable. I could see them blowing a 2-0 lead. I cannot see Nikola Jokic blowing a 2-0 lead. I just can't. So the reason I say that is if the Lakers got 1-1 going home, they had a shot. Now I think it's over.
No, but I mean, here's the thing. The Sixers going to have to win 4 of the next 5 against this Tom Thibodeau coach team. That ain't going to happen. Not the way that the Knicks play defense. Not the way that the Knicks scrap. They are by far the scrappier of the two teams. Mm-hmm. They are by far the better of the two teams when it comes to situational awareness. And here's the thing. Jalen Brunson is shooting 30% for the series. How long is that going to last? If we're saying that Jalen Brunson is a legit MVP candidate, if you're the Sixers, how long do you think that's going to last? I mean, defensive schemes be damned. How long do you think you're going to be able to hold that monster down? I guess my whole point is, if you're the Sixers, yeah, you have the requisite talent to be able to overcome this deficit. But the mentality that you approach the games with, the excuse-making that you made after game two, I don't think that allows you to play up to your potential, which is why I think the Knicks are going to win this series. They are just more dogmatic than the Philadelphia 76ers, point blank, period. They want it more.
I'm over it. Next.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Each and every day at this time, our producer, Pat Costello, gives us items around sports, news, entertainment, his life, and the world that he is over. Start complaining, Pat.
Sorry.
What happened already?
Nuno just said something insane.
Go ahead.
He was just like, yo, do you guys know you can make wine out of ginger ale in 3 easy steps?
I saw that headline yesterday.
What?
I saw the headline. I got to try to find it where it says, like, you know, you can make wine from ginger ale in like 3 easy steps.
We went, what? And he goes, yeah, but I didn't read it.
So he doesn't actually know the steps. So they can't be that easy.
You know, you might be able to make wine from ginger ale in 3 easy steps. That doesn't mean it's going to taste any good.
I love ginger ale. Big ginger ale guy.
Never had it.
What? I just don't understand what kind of inmate logic Nuno is using. You've been watching Locked Up, Nuno? I know Netflix has some kind of new special when it goes behind bars. Like, hey, what are you doing to make you think about making wine out of ginger ale, bro? What is it?
Wait, can we go back to the matter at hand? You've never had ginger ale?
Mm-mm.
Why not? Do you not drink soda in any way?
I'm not really a soda person, no.
I'm not a soda person anymore either, but ginger ale? Like when you have a stomach ache, you don't have ginger
ale? Sprite. We would go the Sprite route.
Nuno had it wrong. It was Mountain Dew.
Pat finds this way more funny, I think, than the rest of us do. I got to be honest with
you. It's ridiculous, though. Pat
it's
is
just
not
insane.
Wrong. It's ridiculous. Who thinks about using a soft drink to make wine?
Well, so how would I'm not a wine person, but how would you do Mountain Dew into wine?
I have no idea.
Oh, I will not say it on air because we don't want to. I will tell you off air, but I'm actually reading the article now.
I'll tell you what. You might be able to make wine out of soda. I don't want to try the results.
Exactly. I'll take your word for it. Right?
Very confused. All right, Pat.
Ooh, all right. I am so tired of hearing NBA players complain about officiating, like at every possible step. The referees did not cause the Lakers or Sixers to lose last night. That's just not what happened. And if we're going to slow down every single tiny, minuscule moment in the game to like one millionth of the speed, because, oh, look, his finger kind of grabbed his jersey right there. That should have been a foul call. Do that the whole game and let the game take 12 days to finish. But it's so stupid. I'm so tired of hearing of it. Officiating in the NBA is mostly fine. There's going to be some bad calls occasionally, but that's not why either of those teams lost those games yesterday. Get over yourselves.
All right, so the biggest officiating complainers in all of sports, is it the NBA star, the NBA coach, the wide receiver? Every wide receiver is looking for pass interference on every play.
Oh, to me, in my mind, by far, it's baseball.
The baseball?
Baseball.
No matter
balls
about
and it. Manage balls and strikes. Hell, Aaron Boone got thrown out of the game yesterday because the ump behind home plate thought he was chirping.
It was the funniest
and
thing.
It was an actual fan.
I know, that was
one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
It's wild.
I don't even think Boone was paying attention.
Balls and strikes, Angel Hernandez, need I say more? Like, by far, baseball is the worst, and the baseball players complain about it the most.
But I think baseball.
What were you going to say?
Baseball players may complain about it the most.
Like, that was a long pause for some reason. He just censored himself over here.
I had to.
You think that baseball players have more of a reason to complain? Like, some of their complaints, I think, are more valid than
That's
some of these
point.
Other sports we're talking about.
I agree. But it doesn't mean that they do it. Like, they still complain more. Like, when we start talking about the sheer volume of complaints, they complain more.
Mm-hmm.
But Smalls, you make a great point because what baseball has is the box, the digital box that we see on the replay where we're like, okay, well, that is clearly a strike, and we don't need the person calling the balls and strikes. In the NBA and NFL, we need people to do it.
Yeah, like we can clearly see if it's outside the zone.
Correct. Next one, Pat.
Can we admit that Kevin Durant leaving Golden State was the worst thing for both sides? Like, we could have had an all-time historic run from that Golden State Warriors team, and they broke it up, and we've watched Kevin Durant flounder. And granted, the Warriors did pick up one more championship, but think about how many more they could have won if they would have just all stayed together. We'd be talking about a historically great team here.
I've never agreed with Pat so much in my life.
Wow.
I love that take. I've been saying it forever. I've said forever that the biggest mistake Kevin Durant made was not joining Kyrie. It was leaving Steph. You don't voluntarily leave Steph Curry. You just don't. And I love KD, but he's been trying to find his team since then.
Ain't going to happen.
It's now at a point where it will never happen unless you and I, Cece, yesterday during a break, sat here and we went on the trade machine, my favorite pastime,
mm-hmm.
and we put Joel Embiid on what team next year?
Oh, we put him on the Timberwolves.
No,
the Lakers.
The Thunder.
That's right. We did put him on OKC.
Unless Kevin Durant gets traded back to OKC.
But here's the difference.
Then he'll have a team.
When somebody is as great as Kevin Durant, you don't expect them to find their team. You expect them to make their team. You expect wherever they go, they are the magnetic force field, that they bring the culture and the winning and the style of play with them because they're so great. And seemingly, since he's left Golden State, he hasn't been able to do that.
We got proof of concept that three of the four stops that he's played at, that he's not that dude. He couldn't do it in OKC the first time with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Couldn't do it with the Brooklyn Nets with Kyrie Irving and James Harden. Couldn't do it with the Phoenix Suns, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. We don't need to see, like, he's a supremely talented player. Nobody will take that away from him. Top 15 in my book all time. Like, he's awesome. But I don't think from a culture standpoint, he can be your leader. And that's a tough spot to be in as the best player in the locker room, but a guy that can't lead.
Next one, Pat.
I'm tired of these cocky zombie survivor people on the internet. If you can hear my voice right now, you're not going to be one of the cool five people who are out in the zombie apocalypse surviving with like a katana and like making your way across the country or something. You're going to be one of the zombies. You're getting eaten. Just stop lying to yourself.
Yeah, I don't see this on the trade machine. I don't know what he's talking about.
What do you mean if they can hear your voice, they're not going to survive?
All of America, like most of America, you're a zombie. Everyone thinks that they're going to be the person like standing on top of a car, like fighting off zombies. No, you're going to be one of the zombies eating the person on the car.
Who thinks they're going to be the zombie survivor? I know
everyone,
I'm toast.
Everyone
I know I'm
does.
Absolutely toast. If the zombies come, I know that I'm one of the first out.
When are they supposed to get here? I don't have it in my Outlook calendar.
But I know I'm not surviving.
I know somebody that is ready, though. Who? I know I have no chance of surviving on my own, but there's a former teammate of mine that built a bunker in the back of his house.
Really?
He stockpiles food back there.
Wow.
Guns, ammo, all the kinds of things. Like he's
for just, zombies?
For anything.
He's ready.
He's ready for zombies. He's ready for the revolution. Whichever one comes first, he is ready for it.
Is he okay?
Yeah, generally speaking.
He will be when he survives the zombies.
Exactly. And that's why I just have to get to his house. If I can make it there, I'll be all right.
Is it in driving distance? Could you get there quickly?
I can make it driving distance.
Wow. Okay, didn't know that was a thing. What else, Pat?
This happened to me the other day, and I forgot to mention it yesterday, but I'm still dealing with these truckers who are in the left lane thing. I was driving up to Massachusetts, and just two trucks side by side next to each other, blocking all of traffic. It was insane. I was behind them for like 20 minutes, and I was losing my mind the whole time, and I think I sent you guys a video in the group chat. It was so infuriating. What are we doing? Get out of the left lane.
So trucks are only supposed to be in the right lane.
Unless they're passing. But unless, that's everybody on the road, though.
They weren't passing, though. They were just equal to each other.
Blocking traffic. Well, as someone whose family members have been involved in trucking, I'm just saying sometimes they'll do that because people act crazy on the road and they just want to make sure they do that so they're protecting themselves and trying to protect other people as well.
Oh, so they're in cahoots with each other.
Yes.
You're not a cop. CB Get radios. Out of the way.
Okay,
They're lead blocking, basically?
Yeah, essentially, something like that.
Wow.
Interesting.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.